Welcome to Look Ahead Radio with Tom Arms and Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Joining us from London, England, where I'm going to be interested as to what the weather is like as we begin the program and find out how much decorating is also taking place there as we approach just 2 weeks from Christmas. So with that, Tom, good afternoon to you. It's afternoon there as we are pre-recording this in the morning. So since you are some 5 hours ahead of us, what's the weather like? What's the weather been like for you this week?
Oh, very cold.
Ah, we're experiencing the same.
Not as cold, say, as Maine or Colorado, but, you know, it's probably about 40 degrees.
Okay. Fahrenheit.
Dipping down to just above freezing at night.
Now, okay, I'm intrigued. You're using Fahrenheit, not Celsius.
Well, that's because you wouldn't understand what I was saying.
Well, there's truth to that.
Which goes for a lot of what I say anyway.
You've got it exactly correct. If we could just fix your language. With that, it's cold. Is this seasonal for you, as we always be
asked? Yeah, this is about right.
I mentioned a moment ago Christmas, and I'm wondering, is there a lot of decorating there in the UK, and particularly in London, as people prepare for Christmas?
There is not as much as there is in the States. In our household, the big thing is I make a Christmas decoration for our children. One of my hobbies is carving. And so I make a Christmas decoration to, in some way, commemorate something they've done during the year. This year, for instance, we bought a puppy, which my son Christopher is very attached to. So I carved a little puppy, a little dog, put fur on it and everything else. And that would be going up on the Christmas tree. My daughter has bought her first house. And so I've made a house, which I've decorated, and that's going up on the Christmas tree.
Let's talk about this related to your daughter and her decision to buy a house. Now, I'm assuming in the environs of London?
Yes.
This is a topic that is beginning to be discussed here in the States, and that, of course, is, and your daughter being a millennial, what is their interest in housing? Are they interested in large homes or small homes? Is this more of a minimalistic approach to life?
She's buying a two-bedroom apartment. You know, it's a starter house. She's very fortunate that she earns enough money that she can do it. She's been quite successful. She's the executive producer for Vogue magazine for their website. She's doing quite well. Her boyfriend, whom she's living with, is training to be a lawyer. So they can manage it. But it is very difficult. House prices here, especially in London, are extraordinarily high, and certainly high in proportion to salaries.
Oh, and I can imagine high in proportion to other countries as well. I would assume that London's real estate rates are probably much higher than even the highest in this country, which oddly enough are not in New York City, but rather in San Francisco. But I can imagine that it's very, very expensive.
Well, she's buying a two-bedroom apartment, very nice apartment. It's going to cost her $1 million.
That is in and of itself a stunning figure. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio talking with us from London, England. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're hearing what real estate prices are in that fine city. That's just stunning. Is she in the city of, and London's really made up, if I'm not mistaken, of numerous cities, but is she in the center portion of London?
No, she's out in the center. She's on the northeast fringe.
Is it really officially London or one of the part?
It's officially London. It's quite a popular part of London. It's quite popular with the young people, artists, media types, people like that.
Next question for you, Tom, in light of the fact that you're seeing young people in London, you mentioned that a moment ago, is it a city that's seeing a resurgence of youth by any chance?
Certainly, it's, I think, a youth culture, yes. We're having I think you're having it in the States as well, a sort of second baby boom. So you and I are baby boomers from the post-war period.
Right.
And now our children are the, if you like, the mini baby boomers of the baby boomers.
Okay. So they're moving into London. That it's becoming a younger city.
Yes. It's always been a young city. People tend to start off here in London so that they don't have the high commute costs. And of course, you know, there's restaurants and there's clubs and things like that. If you don't have a family, and then you start a family and you move out to the suburbs, to the burbs.
We'll talk about this a little later on in the program. I'm curious about the issue of age now in the European community, because we're going to come up with an interesting story a little later on the program with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us this evening here on Viewpoints Around the World. We're going to be talking about the world's youngest prime minister, but we'll save that for a little later on the program, Tom. Let's start with, as I want to do, related to coverage of events in the United States. Always interested to hear at the opening, what is the news coverage? What's the buzz, if you will?
Well, there's a couple of stories obviously cropped up. There's three stories that I've sort of highlighted, which have been reported over here. One, of course, is the ongoing impeachment.
Uh-huh.
The fact that there'll probably be a vote next week in the House of Representatives on whether or not to impeach Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
The second is the story about FBI bias.
Right.
And the third is about I found this actually the more interesting of the three, was the North Atlantic Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA.
NAFTA.
Or NAFTA Mark II.
Now we're called USMCA, United States Marine Mexico Canada Agreement.
Yeah, I was going to call it Marine.
Yeah.
Corporation or something.
Yes. Yes. It's USMCA, U.S.-Mexican-Canada Agreement. So let's start with, I just want to get through this on the issue of the impeachment. We'll take a quick break after that. How much coverage is the impeachment story making in the European community?
It's sort of died down a bit because there's no real hearings or anything. The FBI bias story got more coverage this week.
Really?
Because there was new information, if you like.
Okay.
But a lot of it at the moment, with the impeachment hearing, as you well know, is, if you like, old news. It's, you know, just going over the same ground again and again and again.
And, you know, many of the states are saying the same thing. Does the European community understand the significance of an impeachment?
Oh, yes. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, you can impeach people over here as well. I mean, people have been impeached, ministers, not prime ministers. But ministers have been impeached in the British government and also in European governments.
But
they're quite familiar with the process of impeachment.
All right,
and they know how it works in the States. It's been reported in great detail in the European press exactly how the president would be impeached if he is.
But here's the other issue. And of course, this is one of the great concerns that many have. I mean, on both sides of the argument, that this is a removal of an individual who has been elected by the voters of the United States, and in light of the fact that there's an election just 10 months away, well, roughly 10 months away, I'm wondering if this is perceived as something that might be, if you will, extreme. Do they see this as an extreme effort?
No.
Really?
No, you know, I think they see it as, if he broke the law, then, you know, no one is above the law. And that the rule of law is very important.
The question,
you know,
of course,
they would do the same to their own president or prime minister if it was, if their politicians were guilty. And they have done. I mean, Berlusconi was thrown out of office.
But the question is, wait a second. The question.
Netanyahu's facing the possibility.
Right. But the question here is, one of the arguments is the obstruction of Congress. And what's fascinating about that, and we were chatting about this last evening with our constitutional authority from Campbell University, Professor Greg Wallace, the fact that he's being accused of obstruction of Congress when, in fact, it's been numerous instances where presidents previously have been, if you will, sued by Congress, that they would now want to impeach the president for doing what other presidents, particularly, for example, most recently, President Obama, refused to allow his attorney general to appear before Congress as an obstruction of Congress. And yet he wasn't impeached for that. I'm just interested. Do they? I'm wondering if there's really an understanding of the impact of this.
Well, certainly the obstruction of Congress is, I think, a fairly new charge, isn't it? That just crawled out of the woodwork this week. That hasn't been reported in great detail. In fact, I don't think I've seen much for today.
Okay, I think what you've shared with us then in that case is some of the details are still yet to be fully explained. I'm just curious. It's just an interesting issue, debate, and of course that's what we're having here in the States as well. And we're going to get to debates there in the UK in just a moment. We're going to take a quick break. We have Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us here on Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Yes, it has been pre-recorded because he is some 5 hours ahead of us. As a matter of fact, going on towards the midnight hour there in London. Tom, we were chatting a few moments ago about the story of impeachment. You said that the story about FBI bias report, and of course we've got several reports coming out. One, an inspector general's report, and soon another report associated with the efforts on the FBI and various agencies on the topic of the Russian collusion story. Interestingly enough, both stories do not appear to show the agencies in good light. What's the coverage there in the UK?
Well, it doesn't show the agency in either good or bad light. It does say that it basically knocks on the head President Trump's assertion that he's the victim of a deep state witch hunt, is how it's been reported here. It's also been reported that the FBI, it says basically the FBI is not biased, however, they did make mistakes, relating, I think, to Carter Page, and they listed 17 mistakes and omissions, but that they were not biased as such, but rather mistakes and omissions, which they should not have made and should own up to. But basically that there is no bias at the FBI. That's the underlying essence of what's been reported here, and that there is no deep state conspiracy against the president.
Okay, let's talk about that issue of deep state. And has that ever been a topic of concern there in the European community in light of the fact that
Yes, it is.
Really?
Very interesting. There was a chap, I don't know if you heard of a book called Spy Catcher a number of years ago. And it was written by an MI5 agent, I can't remember his name, Peter someone or another, who claimed that, in fact, in the 60s, there was an attempt by MI5 to overthrow the then Prime Minister, Harold Wilson, because they thought he might be a Soviet mole.
Well,
and in fact, in this current election, I completely forgot about this, there was a comment by one of the senior Labour politicians. He was having a chat off camera with a conservative friend of his, not realizing that his microphone was still on. And he said that, in fact, he thought that Jeremy Corbyn's left-wing credentials were so left-wing that the establishment would find a way to keep him out of office.
Okay, same concept.
Same concept. Yeah, no, I accept that.
All right. No, I think that's very interesting. All right. Tom, moving on to other items, and of course, we're chatting with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and LookAhead Radio. You mentioned another item that has generated a lot of interest there in the UK and I guess the European press as well, and that is the U.S.-Mexican-Canada agreement, USMCA, as it's called. You mentioned a moment ago NAFTA version 2. My question to you is, how is that of interest? Just why do folks
care? It's of interest because it shows that the president can work with Congress. And that's how it's been reported over here, that, you know, if there's something which is clearly in the national interest, that, you know, they can get on, they can work together.
Now, what about the impact that might have on, say, the European community's efforts related to trade, things of this nature?
Well, we're more concerned. That hasn't been reported here. I don't think it's a major factor in that particular agreement. The European Union was, in fact, talking to Mexico at one stage. when the Donald Trump first basically axed or threatened to axe the old NAFTA agreement.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think people would rather here have a stability in North America than, you know, be taking advantage of any disagreements between the three countries.
Now, when you say they would like to see an agreement, so their attitude is that
No.
Okay.
They like the fact that the Democrats and President Trump have managed to work together to get an agreement.
Okay, so they like the fact that there seems to be some sense of direction there in the
of political responsibility.
Okay. A question for you on this in relationship to trade in general. What is the economy looking like for the European community at this time in light of the conflicts between the U.S. and China, for example, and maybe even the U.S. and South America and things of this nature?
Well, the trade in general is looking very bad. The only economy which seems to be doing reasonably well is your own. The British economy is tanking. It's doing extremely bad, despite the fact that Boris Johnson is saying we're doing very well. He doesn't seem to be able to look at figures.
Mm-hmm.
Other European economies are not doing very well. Some of the East European economies aren't doing too badly, but they're coming. Poland, for instance, I think is growing at about 6%. But it's coming from a very low base. The Irish economy isn't doing too bad. The Chinese economy has had another bad quarter.
Right.
A lot of this, of course, is related to the, according to the IMF, it's related to the tariffs. It's very disturbing.
Well, now we're going to get into this in relationship to Brexit here in just a moment. But amidst all of this, how does the year look like it's panning out for the UK and the European community? Has it been a year that has at least had some positive movement?
Well, I can't see any much.
All right.
It's not been a good year for Europe. It's not been a good year, particularly politically. It's not been a good year economically.
Okay.
The fact is that, you know, I mean, some of the sick men of Europe, like Italy and Greece,
mm-hmm.
And Spain, the good news is that they haven't died.
We won't belabor this, but a few years back, matter of fact, Germany and the UK were stepping in to undergird support, financially aid Greece, Spain. I think Ireland was one country that was in desperate straits. So it's interesting how quickly things have changed, Tom.
Yes, they can change very quickly. And they can change, you know, I mean, all we have to do is look back to 2008, 2009. And, you know, 2007, the whole world was riding high.
Right.
On prime sub mortgages.
Right.
And then a year later, the whole world was on the verge of collapse. It can change very quickly. On a dime.
Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us this afternoon. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back now just to prepare you to talk about the British elections. We'll bring up the topic of Brexit and the process. I'm pretty confident of that. Something that, quite frankly, Tom, is a tiresome topic. However, very important, as we were just mentioning, related to the world economy. Be curious how this story is being promoted, or shall we said, I say promoted, being distributed there in the European community. What's the image, the future for the United Kingdom and Brexit? You're listening to Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. We now return to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
viewpoints on the talk station, FM 107, AM 1240. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us this afternoon. Again, this portion has been pre-recorded to accommodate his sleeping schedule. We're moving very close to midnight as this program is airing. That is midnight in the United Kingdom, in London, where he is living. Tom, let's talk about first Brexit and then the influence on the British elections, which is going to get very complex. First question, what's the status of Brexit and what impact is that having on the European community, the European economy?
Well, the status of Brexit is it's in limbo until the election is over. But it looks as if the Conservatives, who are pro-Brexit, are going to win. That's what the opinion polls show. It's not a certainty. It's not a certainty. We could end up with another hung parliament. The Labour Party is sort of coming up fast on the outside. As an issue, it's not been as big an issue as some people thought it would be.
Now, let me interrupt. Let me interrupt you here very quickly. The Labour Party, under Jeremy Corbyn, if I understand this correctly, has actually promoted a second referendum. Am I correct on that?
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, basically everyone except the Brexit Party and the Conservatives want a second referendum. But Labour's second referendum is a bit suspect, if you like. They say that they will negotiate a new deal. And then they will put it to the people in a second referendum. But the leader of the Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn, says he won't campaign for whatever deal he negotiates. He will refuse to support it, even though he negotiated it, which to my mind doesn't make sense.
No, it does not. Surprising. All right. Let's talk then about the elections. And basically the elections are between Jeremy Corbyn of the Labour Party and Boris Johnson of the Conservative Party. And for a while there, you were giving me every indication that Boris Johnson with the Conservatives had a very large lead. But you just said something a moment ago about the fact that it's very close.
Yeah, it is closing. And the reason is because Corbyn has managed to cast aspersions on Boris Johnson's commitment to the National Health Service. National Health Service is like a sacred cow here.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you were to do a poll of what people thought Britain should be most proud of, I would say 90% of them would say the National Health Service.
Wow. And, of course, this is related to a picture of a child on the floor in a hospital that's lying on a red blanket.
Yeah, he made a huge mistake. There's several things. People are not convinced about his denial that he's going to try and privatize the National Health Service in talks with Donald Trump. And open the National Health Service to American competition.
Mm-hmm.
The other is what appears to be a sort of callous approach to the problems of the National Health Service, which because of austerity of in the past 10 years is really suffering in financial terms and in the way it can offer its services.
Okay.
And one television reporter recently was interviewing Boris Johnson and said, you know, there's this case of this four-year-old boy who's believed to be suffering from pneumonia sleeping on the floor because they can't even find a chair or a trolley for him to sit in, and he's been there for 4 hours. And Boris Johnson tries to avoid talking about it. This is all on television. Tries to avoid talking about it, refuses to answer any questions about it. And so the reporter takes out his camera and says, here's a picture, look. And Boris Johnson refuses to look at it. The reporter pushes it even further. Boris Johnson takes the camera away from him takes the phone away from him and puts the reporter's phone in his pocket and tries to change the subject.
Okay, so basically National Health Service has become the big issue then in the campaign right now.
It's become
wow.
not – well –
Yes, sounds to me.
There's so many. This is one of them.
Okay.
There are other issues too. I mean,
all right.
In most campaigns, both of the two main parties are lying through their back teeth.
Now, quick question for you. When is the election?
It's tomorrow.
Wow. All right. Here's another question associated with tomorrow's election.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. All right. Here's the other question associated with the election. And this has to do with the neighbors just across the pond, France. And we've been paying attention to some major riots in France, particularly Paris. What's going on? And is that influencing possibly the voters coming up in the tomorrow's election?
Well, in this election, no. They're not really concerned about it. By the way, it's not, the French don't call it the English Channel. They call it La Manche, the
right,
sleeve.
The sleeve, right. So my question.
Which I always find amusing. Basically, what it is, the French have a very complex pension system.
Uh-huh.
Which is developed over the years. It's something like 47 different pension systems supported by the state.
Right. And it's a highly social, very socialized pension system.
Yes, very socialized. And each one, each sector, whether you're a doctor or a lawyer, whatever, you get different amounts, different retirement ages, and so forth and so on. It's very complicated. And generally they can retire much earlier mm-hmm. and get much higher pensions than almost anywhere else, not just in Europe, but in the OECD countries. That's the club of rich nations.
Uh-huh.
Now, Macron says basically, we can't afford this.
Right.
The problem of the aging population. And he wants to have a unified pension system with everyone retiring much later, up to age 67, which is what it is now in Britain. And he wants to have it on a points-based system
mm-hmm.
so that you get so many points for every day that you've worked during your working life, and that goes towards your pension and determining not only how big your pension is, but when you can retire.
You know, and by the way, the issue of the French pension, and they are very generous. Do the French even work a 40-hour work week, or have they now?
I think they do now. They did go back for a while to a 35-hour
wow.
work week.
Wow.
And that wasn't working.
Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us this afternoon. The impact of these riots, they're having no influence right now on the elections there in the UK, I gather.
No, they're having no influence here. But,
wow.
you know, it certainly, I mean, what it is, a lot of this is, we do have a similar thing here. Some people are very concerned. It is an election issue here. And that is they've raised the pension age for women.
Mm-hmm.
Women used to be able to retire at 60, and now they are retiring at 67.
Ah, okay.
But the thing is, and it's the same thing in France, is that there's no transitional period. They're
right.
just springing on you. So, you know, you may be 59 expecting to retire next year. All of a sudden, you're told, no, you've got to work another 7 years.
Ah, okay. Well, bad implementation. Tom, let's talk a few other items before we move on to the big issue, and I'm looking forward to this a little later on the program. Mannequins controlling traffic in India. The question has to do with other elections. Bolivia elections, are rigged?
That's what's the
argument.
They had an investigation. And in fact, it was Evo Morales is believed to have rigged the elections. He's not in power now, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But they are having an investigation into this, and it looks as if people were hacking into computers and changing the election results.
Now that's we've been saying for years that the potential is there, but so many countries have ignored that, and we've had even discussions related to that in the U.S. But another time for another.
That's why they don't use computers here in the U.K.
Well, and by the way, I think many of us are beginning to question the whole issue of electronic voting, and of course. One has to wonder at some point, there's discussion here in the States of having voting from home by computer technology. We won't belabor that today, but that's a topic I'd be interested in hearing how that's being considered there in the UK. Tom, a few other items before we go to the break. Let's talk about the situation in Myanmar and genocide.
Well, today we've had Aung San Suu Kyi appearing before the International Court of Justice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she, as you may recall, is a Nobel Prize, Peace Prize winner.
Right.
And she got Nobel Peace Prize for standing up to the military government in Myanmar. And for years she was under house arrest, and she refused to cave in. And then finally they had elections. She won her argument. As part of the resolution of the problem, they said she could not run for president, but she could run for office, and they named her foreign minister, and she is the de facto president of Myanmar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So she is a woman with a great deal of gravitas on the international stage. But she's coming in for a lot of slack because she is supporting the military government's genocide against the Rohingya people in Myanmar. Okay. 1 million of whom who have had to flee across the border to Bangladesh.
Right. Okay, so this is one of those issues that the, for example, the European community is paying attention to.
It certainly is, and so is the UN,
right,
who has declared it a genocide.
Genocide, no. All right, one other quick item related to disputes. Ukraine and Russia, but here you've got a note, deal. What deal?
Ah, they've agreed to a ceasefire from the end of this year.
Hmm.
And Zelensky has agreed to pull back some of his troops. He was elected on a peace ticket, and he has to deliver the goods. But his problem is going to be he came to this agreement in Paris with Putin this week. His problem is going to be that peace is good, but not too much peace. You don't want to give away any territory or anything like that.
Okay, yeah.
And so he's treading a very fine line.
Well. That's an important story here in the States because, obviously the Ukraine has been a topic of discussion as well. Real quickly, as we prepare to go to the break, has that topic, been introduced in the conversation with, or in the news stories about, the presidential efforts and the, of course, the cause of charges of impeachment?
No, it hasn't.
Very interesting.
I was very surprised it wasn't.
Okay. I just was curious.
I should add, by the way, that they've also agreed to hold elections in eastern Ukraine, which is occupied by Russian, quote, volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't set a date for it.
We'll see how that works out. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Several items to talk about as we wrap things up. And, of course, we're going to be getting to the big story of the day. Mannequins controlling... That's right, you heard that correctly. Mannequins controlling traffic in India. But before we do that, let's talk about the world's youngest prime minister. And I'm wondering if this is an indication that we're seeing a generational change. Where is the world's youngest prime minister located? And how young? And what does this indicate, Tom?
She is 34 years old. And she's in Finland.
Okay.
San Marin. And she is heading up a four-party coalition, and all of the other members of the coalition are led by women in their 30s.
Is this an indication that we're seeing a transition, generational transition? Is that the feeling there in the European community?
Certainly, all of the members of the coalition in Finland are left of center,
mm-hmm.
Center or left of center. So within the left wing parties, there is certainly a move towards youth if you like.
Okay. Well, we've been wondering here in the States, I have at least, when we're going to see this transition. And I think that we are seeing that. And I think that's a good indication of it in Finland. By the way, did that spur a lot of attention there in the European press?
Yes, it did.
Wow.
I mean, she seems to be a very competent politician. She was the transport minister.
Okay. So she has
her
experience.
Mother was a single mother.
Uh-huh.
Her mother was gay. You know, she had a rough childhood.
Wow.
She should be very interesting.
Okay. Let's now go to the final item of the day. Mannequins controlling traffic in India. Are they being paid?
No. It's not me or you. It's someone else. They're all dummies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's in the southern city of Bangalore. And so they've decided they don't have quite enough policemen to act as traffic cops all the time.
Uh-huh.
And so they put out mannequins and dress them up as policemen and put them on corners and in the middle of the road with their arms up in the air in the hopes that people will think, oh, I've got to put my motorcycle helmet back on, or I've got to slow down. Look, there's a policeman up ahead.
Okay.
And you know what? It's working.
You know, I've got to remind you, it reminds me of an experience having when I was in the Navy. I was in Puerto Rico and we were driving around. I'm not sure if it was where in Puerto Rico, but all the police cars had their blue lights flashing all the time while they were driving through the town. I guess really to notify would-be criminals that
donut shop on time.
Yeah, it may not be the right time. Wait until the blue light passes. Okay, so they've just put mannequins. All right, we've seen this here in the States. They've actually put police cars out there with mannequins in them as well to get people to slow down predominantly. Very interesting. But the question I still go to, are they paying the mannequins? Do they need to unionize?
I think they need to unionize. Yeah, definitely. Everyone needs to unionize.
Okay. We'll be starting a union there, a mannequins union in India. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. And with that, Tom, very Merry Christmas. Talk to you next week.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it, Lockwood.
Viewpoints around the world on the Talk Station, FM 107, AM 1240.
Look Ahead Radio is a production of the Talk Station.